The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. You are mighty creator, desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you don't believe the Creator exists, you might like to consider the following. The Almighty has said regarding you, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me in heaven and they do not believe I exist? So if you don't believe and you have an expectation of something pleasant happening at the end of your life, I suggest you think again. It's going to be pretty darn horrible when you die. If you're a believer and you've really not made a strong commitment, then Father has said concerning you, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? So if you're a believer at some basic level and you have some expectation of a nice outcome when you die, you too may be in for a nasty surprise. If you want to have a really pleasant experience when you die, you need to get your life right, and you need to have a deep relationship with the Almighty. Tonight we're going to continue with our program on the global flood that changed the world. We're going to part four, and we're going to discuss how the geology and topography of our planet were formed. And the presentation is based on a set of presentations created in 2010, which are on the website, they're on YouTube, they're on SlideShare. As a context to all of this, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. It's my sincere belief that if you listen to this series and apply what you hear, you will get closer to Father. The overview of tonight's program, we're going to continue the discussion of the African erosion surface as a phenomenon that proves a global flood. You'll note that the African erosion surface is a widely documented phenomenon. We'll state that a detailed study of spot heights of high points around the hill of Northcliffe that I've referred to previously will demonstrate this phenomenon. It will be noted that engineers would have great difficulty replicating this phenomenon. It requires very special forces. It will be pointed out that the African erosion surface is parallel to the surface of the sea, but 400 kilometers removed from it. It will be stressed that in engineering, very special machines are required to achieve level and plane. It will be pointed out that random waves cannot achieve this effect, and global tsunamis are the only explanation. We will examine incised valleys all over the world, resulting in greatly increased topographic complexity. It will be pointed out that low-velocity water has no erosive capacity. Only high-velocity water erodes and cuts. It will be explained that erosive capacity based on stream bed load increases exponentially with water velocity. Plucked cliff faces will be cited as an indicator of high velocity drainage, and also plucked hill and mountain tops. It will be pointed out that huge volumes of rock have apparently disappeared, and that glaciers cannot explain this. Rapid continental separation will be postulated as the only explanation for incised valleys. a hypothesis for continental splitting and cracking will be presented. It will be noted that massive forces resulted from collision of the continents, and it will be concluded that incised valleys evidence massive tectonic and hydraulic events as the only explanation. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for over 25 years, and I'm currently a business executive. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room. What is Entire Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Questions from last week's program. Lexi stated, I find it so hard to keep my faith. And I just see so much evil in the world. That's an interesting thought, and it speaks to wrong thinking that because the Almighty exists, this world should be free of sin and free of evil. If you go back about 2 months, Lexi, and go to my website, you'll find a series of broadcasts on, there's also a web page for the book, on the real history of all this. There you'll find a detailed explanation of how Satan rebelled, was cast down to earth, deceived Adam and Eve, led them into error, and has been ruling on earth ever since. So the Almighty gave authority on earth to Adam. Adam gave it to Satan by disobeying the Almighty. And Satan has been the Lord of this world, the King of this world, the God of this world, ever since. So that's why there's so much evil in the world, is because Satan is winning the battle. And Yeshua, Jesus, is waiting for us, the believers, to make his enemies his footstools, and we're not doing anything about it. So it's up to us to clean this up, clean up this act. Philip asked, do you believe that there will be another ice age-like thing going to happen? Philip, I don't really know. I don't think it's particularly material, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think the earth is warming up as it dries down over the flood. I think that the things that gave rise to the ice age are well behind us now. So I don't think we're going to get another ice age. Jan or Jan asked, I will be doing some homework over this week. Yes, I would encourage you all to do your homework. Don't just take what I have to say. There's a lot of material on my website. There's about 1,000 web pages, about 9,000 A4 type pages of documents in the book. A lot of information on a lot of topics. Hopefully answer a lot of your questions. So just to recap the forward, this broadcast is the culmination of a number of years of observation and research, coupled to formal training in geography, geology, science, mathematics, and most importantly, engineering. The broadcast seeks to make visible key aspects of the topography and geology of our planet that are obvious and in plain sight once one is sensitized to them. These observations evidence that the entire planet was submerged underwater at some time in the past, and that associated with this, the surface of the Earth was radically transformed and subject to massive tectonic, that's ground movement, events. All of this took place around 4,500 years ago, such that there are very few archaeological finds that are older than this, and the entire surface of the Earth dates back to this event. Theories of much older dates for the formation of the Earth and older datings of archaeological findings are shown to be flawed and false. Resuming where we left off, continuing with Chapter 6, the African Erosion Surface. the planar surface that proves the global flood. The African erosion surface is a widely documented phenomenon. This flat plain covers most of Africa and is widely documented. Searching on Google for the exact text string African erosion surface returns around 3,340 exact matches, an indication of how widely the term is recognized. That search is in quotation marks, by the quotes, by the way. The map and the presentation on the website shows how widespread the phenomenon of a level plain covering high points across Africa is. You can view the graphics for the broadcast on the website on the flood page, which is www.endtimeissueministries.org/proof-of-global-flood, or you can look for proof of global flood as a menu item on the main menu. Folks, what I've tried to do with this series, and in fact I try and do that with everything that I teach, is to verify things in such a way that they can be substantiated. I try not to just go on opinions and hearsay. So that's why I referred back to Google. There are a lot of people who write about the African erosion surface. You can look at it on maps. You can find learned papers on the subject. It definitely exists. It's real. It's there. You can go to the top of Northcliffe, or you can look at the photos on my website, and you can clearly see that there is a flat plain stretching to the horizon in all directions. Really important that you apply your mind and verify what I'm saying against other sources. With regard to the African erosion surface, spot heights concern the phenomenon. A detailed study of spot heights of high points over the area visible from Northcliffe confirms the extent of the phenomenon. There are high points with spot heights within meters of each other over considerable distances, and I say that based on what is available in the 1 in 50,000 survey maps. Very easy to verify. Let's talk about the engineering difficulty of replicating this phenomenon. We live in a world of man-made artifacts that are level and plumb, such that we do not think much about it. But if you have ever tried to build a wall level and plumb, ice a level, a cake level, hang a door, or build furniture, or undertaken any other creative endeavor that requires things to be level and plumb, either for aesthetic reasons or for mechanical reasons, you will know that the first time you tried to do this, it was really challenging. In fact, those who consistently produce level and plumb buildings, roads, structures, etc., use special tools and special techniques and required training and practice before they could get this right consistently. If one were to set a task for an engineering construction company to build an amphitheater the size of a halfway house granite dome, and ensure that the hills around the entire amphitheater were at the same height, it would require significant management and measurement to get this right. So you can go and get hold of the maps of Africa, and you can verify what I'm saying in terms of the spot heights of the hills and mountains around the continent. The African erosion surface is parallel to sea level, but the sea is not visible. Note also that the African erosion surface is parallel to sea level, but it is 1,800 meters above sea level, and the area we're discussing around Northcliffe is around 400 kilometers from the nearest coastline. Yet the surface is exactly parallel to the sea surface. This is a major accomplishment, indicative of global erosive action. Special machines are required to achieve exact level. As stated previously, it requires special machines, tools and techniques, and skilled artisans to produce level and plumb on a significant scale. Consider a road grader. It has a long wheelbase in order to smooth off undulations in the roadbed and produce a surface that is consistent and to grade. And it requires significant training of the operator to get this right. Folks, it's so important to link what one believes to what's practical and real. There's so much, frankly, nonsense based on strange interpretations of the Bible and other sources. Don't abdicate your intellect. Think critically about what I'm saying. Verify it for yourself. It's extremely difficult to produce level planes just within the context of a house or a garden or a parking area, let alone to do it over the sort of area that we're talking about here, which is at least a couple of hundred kilometers in either direction. Very, very critical measures required to do that. It's important to recognize that random waves cannot do this. Random waves in a so-called inland sea, slopping backwards and forwards, cannot have produced the surface. It requires extremely uniform waves and cutting action to do this. Consider the images in the presentation on the website. It is mechanically impossible for the African erosion surface to have happened randomly over millions of years. Only a consistent global tsunami can have done this. If you take account of all the factors that are at play here, it is mechanically impossible for the African erosion surface to have occurred gradually over thousands of millions of years. It required one mega event over a very short space of time with extremely uniform surfaces, forces to cut the surface. The only possible explanation is a global tsunami tidal wave ripping around the planet absolutely uniformly. And it happened when most of the other tectonic events had stabilized it. You see that something very uniform is required to produce level surfaces. I don't care whether you're icing a wedding cake and you want a nice level smooth top, whether you're hanging a door, whether you're building a house, whether you're building a road, whether you're building a stadium or a building. It requires discipline and careful technique to get it right. How did we get this flat surface over the African continent? Only with some massive agency. And I suggest to you that agency can only be what I've described as a global tsunami, tidal wave, ripping around the planet. So to conclude on the African erosion surface, large span tidal waves with uniform velocity and depth over considerable distances are capable of cutting down the surface of the Earth to remove vast amounts of material uniformly. It's required to cut the top off the halfway house granite dome and the sedimentary layers up thrust by the dome and thereby create the African erosion surface. This is entirely consistent with a planet covered in water with the tides running as massive continuous tsunamis around the planet, giving rise to massive cutting down in very short time spans. Please reflect on your own practical life experience and knowledge. What else can explain the topographic forms, the landforms we see around us? There's so much that I'm talking about on this series of programs. We'll talk about further in the next while, tonight. There's so much that people take for granted. I did until a few years ago when I read Jonathan Gray's books. And then it became very obvious. Don't just swallow some half-baked theory of mountains formed in inland seas or deposits in inland seas and what have you. Apply your mind to it. Just whatever is practical for you. It can't just happen. It's got to be something dramatic. And I really hope that by the time I finish this series of programs, you will understand that there really was a massive global hydraulic and tectonic event which has shaped the Earth ever since. Check this out for yourself as you drive around. Look at travel books. If you're a computer user and you're on Windows, certainly Windows 10, look at the scenery that comes up when you log into Windows 10. Every few hours or every few days, those images change, and many of them, if you select correctly, are of dramatic scenery, dramatic mountains. Think about it. Ask yourself, how did that happen? And if you listen to all of these broadcasts, or you go and get the book off the website, or you watch the videos, or you watch the videos, PowerPoint on SlideShare, I really believe you will see after a while that there has to have been a global flood with the attributes that I'm talking about. So do not abdicate your intellect. Check this theory out for yourself as you drive around. We have a massive flat plain, level with the sea level, but we cannot see the sea, and we're nearly 2,000 meters above sea level. From an engineering perspective, this seems impossible. It cannot possibly have occurred slowly over millions of years. It is far too uniform. So what caused it? There is no reasonable explanation apart from massive global wave action. Just imagine it. Tidal waves, probably hundreds of feet high, ripping around the planet. They might even have been miles high, I don't know. Ripping around the planet, cutting off material over the entire extent of the African continent. That's the only possible explanation. Moving on, chapter 7, we're going to look at incised valleys and suggest that they prove high-speed water drainage consistent with a global flood and continental separation. So adding to the complexity of the geology and topography that we're considering, the African erosion surface is comprehensively intersected by valleys incised into the plain that we discussed in the previous section. So now there's an added complexity. We don't just have this uniform spread of high points at the same elevation over the whole of Africa. And there may be similar plains in other parts of the world, but the African erosion surface, to my knowledge, is the most spectacularly visible and the most widely understood from an academic point of view. Problem is that people's explanation of how it happened is really a little bit confused. So cut into that plain are deep gorges, rivers, valleys. So you've got a flat plain and then chopped it, cut into it, river valleys. Some of those of considerable depth. And then as you get towards the sea, that falls away as well, and there's not just the river valleys, there's other erosive forms. Again, this can only happen with massive, dramatic water action. And I hope to evidence that to you in the next few minutes. Difficult to portray this verbally. I encourage you to go to the web site and look at the flood pages. But if you can imagine a flat plain with valleys gouged out of it, that's what we're talking about. What we find today is small streams in wide flat valleys, where the stream does not have the erosive capacity to cut the valley, and there are rough rocks in the stream bed which evidence that very limited erosive power exists in that stream. The streams could never erode valleys like these. The erosive capacity is far too low, even in flood. And if they did erode, the limited scope of the river would produce a narrow valley, not the big, wide valleys that you see around Johannesburg in South Africa, around Northcliff. The streams are not even able to erode the granite rocks in the bottom of the stream bed. Some people say that these valleys have been eroded over millions or billions of years. Folks, that's codswallop with respect. It's just absolute nonsense. It's not possible. Water gently flowing over hard rock will flow forever and not make a difference. It requires high-speed water with a lot of bed load to cut the valleys that you can see there. But to reiterate, gentle rain or stream flow does nothing. It's all about high-velocity water. Though velocity water nurtures plants, it does not erode however long it flows, even if it flows for millions of years. How do I know that? Well, strictly speaking, if I apply the rules that I've given you before, I don't know that. It's my assertion based on my observation of rivers, etc., in my lifetime. There is no evidence whatsoever, speaking from an engineering point of view, that gently flowing streams erode hard rock. There's just no evidence to suggest that it does. You can see pictures of even fast-flowing mountain streams flowing over hard rocks, and there's no rounding of significance. Might be a little bit of rounding if there's been flood events with a reasonable amount of stream bed load, but even that is not something that happens regularly. It's important to recognize that high-velocity water scours out large amounts of material very rapidly, and it continues eroding till there's nothing left to erode. So if you look on the website, you'll find a couple of pictures. One of them is mining with a high-velocity water cannon, and that water cannon is aimed at the deposits, and it just cuts it away and washes it down. Very, very specific, very high velocity water, a microcosm of what we're talking about here. And it's really important to get this. The faster the water flows, the more capacity it has to cut. And that's what we need in order to create the valleys that we're talking about. We have to have had huge volumes of water flowing at extremely high velocity, carrying huge amounts of bed load. That's the only way you can explain what's been gouged out in the granite in what Halfway House Granite Dome and all over the world. I keep referring to the Halfway House Granite Dome because I've grown up with it. I know it intimately, but there are rivers all around the world where these same comments apply. It's important to recognize that erosive capacity as river bed load is exponentially related to water velocity. The erosive capacity of flowing water increases exponentially with water velocity. There are a number of graphs in the presentation. I want to move to plucked cliff faces. By plucked, I mean you can look at the cliff face, it's hard rock, and the edges are all sharp where rocks have been plucked out of the cliff face. All over the world, we see sheer, steep cliff faces with large blocks plucked out of them and ragged rocks remaining. This is evidence of dramatic high energy action. High velocity water with massive sucking action is the only possible explanation. We also see plucked hilltops. So, for example, the top of North Cliff, the top of Table Mountain. You see isolated ragged rocks on the tops of hills and mountains where the surrounding material has been plucked out, leaving sharp jagged rocks scattered across the hilltop. High velocity water with sucking action is again the only possible explanation. Folks, don't fall for millions or billions of years. This is stuff that happened in the space of probably days, maybe weeks, but I would suggest probably days. Very, very rapid events. Where's all the rock gone? Over the halfway house granite dome, about 600 cubic kilometers of rock and earth have been removed. That's 600,000 million cubic meters. The river flows downhill all the way to the low ground of Limpopo province and onto the sea, about 1,000 kilometers distant, and over 1,000 meters lower down. This material was all removed through the Habeas Put Gorge, and all the material en route to the sea has disappeared as well. Huge volumes of material just gone. You can see the African erosion surface. You can see from that the level that existed before. And these rivers have been gouged out of that surface. And you can see the continuity of the strata, the sedimentary rocks, across this space, so that you know that it was all there at one stage. Massive high-velocity water flows are the only possible mechanical explanation. It's important to understand this is not consistent with glaciers. It's certainly not evaporation of the rock. It's certainly not solution of the rock. I've had various people, as I was preparing this teaching originally, giving various explanations when I raised these issues. You know, some said glacier, some said evaporation, some said dissolve. But the fact is that the valley shape is not consistent with glaciers. See the presentation, for example, the view-shaped glacial valleys. And rock does not evaporate and does not dissolve. And if it did, the material left behind would look different. So I want to suggest for your consideration that rapid continental separation is the only plausible explanation. The continents fit together. Conventional theory says this took place gradually over millions of years. What if it happened rapidly, like all the other events discussed in this document? This requires massive forces to split the continents, and massive forces to overcome inertia and start movement, and massive forces to stop the movement. It needs an external force to initiate all of this. Imagine rapid separation of the continents. What if simultaneously the Earth expanded as a consequence of all the surface disruption breaking the crust, which would have contracted rapidly as a consequence of rapid cooling? What if several kilometers depth of water drained off the land in a very short space of time, perhaps days or weeks? What if the water flow had the erosive capacity to cause the topography that I've described, and the topography in the part of the world where you live? So our hypothesis for continental splitting or cracking: the coefficient of thermal expansion of granite is 6.5 micrometers per meter at 20 degrees centigrade. The melting point of granite is 1,700 degrees centigrade. Cooling from molten to zero degrees would shrink the circumference of the Earth by approximately 427 kilometers, but the core would not shrink. Massive tension and splitting of the crust would result. It is not necessary for the cooling to be from 1,700 degrees. Much more modest reduction in temperature associated with a flood of ice meltwater would be more than sufficient to cause huge tension in the crust, and because it's brittle, it would break. It's so important to put aside preconceived ideas and really critically examine what you can see day by day if you travel around the countryside wherever you live. More obvious in some areas than in others, but if you're in the mountains, you're on a river valley, these things are there for you to see if you will open your eyes and think about it. See, part of the problem is that we've grown up with very superficial explanations. We've kind of just taken it for granted that this is the way the earth is, this is the way God created it. Now, you say God purposely there, his real name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, but this is the way that the Almighty created. No, 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 not at all. The Almighty created a beautiful, perfect earth, and it was completely mashed up and destroyed by this event that we're talking about 4,500 years ago. We grow up believing these lies. Happened over millions of years. God shaped it. I've even come across people who refer to a specific mountain or whatever in their area that has some sort of superficial approximation to some physical animal, person, or something. And they build a whole theory that the Almighty carefully crafted that hill or whatever. Folks, it's just not like that. It's really, really not like that. The Almighty deflected this ice comet and hit the earth, and everything that happened then from that point onwards was not under his control. It really wasn't. Continuing with the subject of drainage, ocean trenches are another source of drainage. The Mariana Trench is 11,000 meters deep. So seemingly concurrently with continental separation, trenches were also formed, further draining water off the continent. The volume of the seas is much greater than the volume of the continents. There's 18 times more water on the planet than there is ground above sea level. So it's easy to postulate rapid and dramatic drainage. There were massive forces when the continents collided. Having developed rapid motion, the continents then continued around the surface of the earth until they collided with one another, giving rise to the Alps, the Himalayas, the Rockies, the Andes, etc. Again, it had to happen while the rocks were still plastic and newly formed. You can't explain the Rockies, the Andes, the Himalayas, the Alps, on the basis of gradual movement over millions or billions of years. It's just really silly, folks. It's just not that way. These were things that happened rapidly, huge inertia, huge forces, thrusting those mountains up thousands of meters. And you can see the sedimentary strata in many of those upthrust mountains. Clearly, it was once all level below water level. I really encourage you to open your eyes as you live life, drive around, look at windows, backgrounds, etc. It's there for seeing. And then there were massive forces when the continents collided. So having developed rapid motion, then the continents continued. So a comet impact is consistent with all that's been reported. Impact by a comet is entirely consistent with what has been reported here. It is postulated that Earth's axis was once vertical, that the orbit of the Sun was originally circular, of the Earth around the Sun was originally circular, and not elliptical, and that a year was originally 360 days. All of these parameters were changed by the comet impact, introducing massive forces into the crust of the Earth. The torsional shear between the crust and the liquid molten core would have been huge and would fully explain the rapid separation of the continents postulated here. Now, I'm talking about the impact shook everything up. It then knocked the Earth off its axis to the tune of about 30 degrees. It's wobbled back to about 23.5 degrees now. Imagine a ball of liquid in a solid casing. You rotate the casing, the liquid stays behind. It's called hysteresis. Difficult to describe. You could simulate it if you had a plastic sphere and you put colored water in it and you rotated the sphere quickly, you would see that the water would dragged behind. Huge forces on the crust of the Earth, absolutely more than enough to cause those cracks from the cooling of the Earth to open up and for the continents to start moving around. So in conclusion, with regard to incised valleys, we see large valleys incised in the dome and elsewhere, in fact all over the Earth, that are too large to be formed by the streams or rivers currently running in those valleys. We see massive plucking of rocks out of cliff faces and tops of hills. We see that the continents were originally one landmass, and that thermal shrinkage of the crust due to rapid cooling associated with inundation of the surface of the Earth with ice-cold water explains splitting up of the continents. We see that a massive impact of an ice comet tilting the Earth on its axis, distorting its orbit around the Sun, and causing massive shear hysteresis between crust and core can explain separation of continents and explains rapid drainage leading to the formation of the valleys and other erosion forms we see all around us. All this happened rapidly. It's mechanically impossible for it to happen slowly. So it's really, I really encourage you to really consider what I've said. Go back and look at the presentation on the website. It's full of photographs, drawings. Makes it much easier to understand what I'm talking about. Rethink. And it's important to rethink what you believe, because once you understand that there really was a flood and you get that this was a judgment by the Almighty and it happened only 4,500 years ago, and you get that you've been misled, that people have misunderstood, misinterpreted, made simplifying assumptions, and got it just plain wrong, it gives you the opportunity to rethink your relationship with the Almighty. It gives you the opportunity to rethink what you believe about the Almighty. So I'd like to ask you, right now, where are you in your relationship with Father, the Almighty Creator, Yah, the Eternal Self-Existing? Where are you in your relationship with Him? Do you realize that it's possible for you to become the closest person to Father of any human being alive today? Folks, this is so important. Father created us to be companions, to work with Him, to talk with Him, to learn with Him, to do experiments. He wants you, He wants every human being on the planet to be His friend. And virtually nobody understands that He wants people to be His friends, and virtually nobody is making any effort to become His friend. The opportunity is huge. The rewards in heaven are dramatic. A reincarnated body, which is glorious, dramatic, power, authority, esteem. Read the book, The Final Quest, to get a feel for what that looks like. There are other reports of human beings who've been to heaven and seen at some level the glory and the honor that is there for those who really serve the Almighty in this life. I really encourage you to reprioritize your life today, to seek the Almighty. Fast, pray. Seek to get close to Him. It's so important. To review tonight's program, The Global Flood That Changed the World, Part 4, this broadcast continued discussion of the African erosion surface as a phenomenon that proved the global flood. It was noted that the African erosion surface is a widely documented phenomenon. It was stated that a detailed study of spot heights of high points around North Cliff demonstrate the phenomenon. It was noted that engineers would have great difficulty replicating this phenomenon. It requires great forces. It is pointed out that the African erosion surface is parallel to the surface of the sea, but 400 kilometers removed from it. It is stressed that in engineering, very special machines are required to achieve level and plane. It is pointed out that random waves cannot achieve this effect, and global tsunamis are the only explanation. We examined incised valleys all over the world, resulting in greatly increased topographic complexity. It was pointed out that low-velocity water has no erosive capacity. Only high-velocity water erodes and cuts. It was explained that erosive capacity based on stream bed load increases exponentially with water velocity. Plucked cliff faces were cited as an indicator of high-velocity drainage, as well as plucked hill and mountain tops. It was pointed out that huge volumes of rock have apparently disappeared and that glaciers cannot explain this. Rapid continental separation is postulated as the only explanation. A hypothesis for continental splitting and cracking is presented. It is noted that massive forces resulted from collisions of the continents, giving rise to mountain ranges. And it is concluded that incised valleys evidence massive tectonic and hydraulic events as the only explanation. In wrapping up, there are five documents that are key on the web page in terms of the long-term focus of this series. The creator desires a deep personal relationship with you near the bottom of the menu. Seven components in drawing close to the creator, also near the bottom of the menu. Recommended worship, also near the bottom of the menu. Songs that are strongly recommended. The creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, at the top of the menu. So important to know his true name. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on the high throne for eternity? Near the bottom of the menu. Very important to read this and understand what's available to you. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all the teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page, and recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcast. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email me and james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel, or pray, or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer the next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Folks, in closing, I just want to stress to you, you do not need to work through a pastor or an imam or a rabbi or a yogi or a James or a whoever to get close to Father. He wants you to get close to him. He will meet you wherever you are. People like me can help you. We've gone before, we've charted the course, we've published a whole lot of material. I'm not the only one. There are others out there. There are books in bookshops. Dip in. Take from whoever you find, whatever you find, and walk the journey. In the articles that I referenced a minute ago, Seven Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty, very comprehensive discussion of things that I've done over many years to get close to Father. So recommend that to you as a way of accelerating your journey with him. But don't get stuck in following me. learn from me, and then go beyond me. Get closer to him than I am. It's entirely there for you. It doesn't matter your race, your color, your creed, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, your education, your wealth, nothing. It's there for you. Good night.
Father, I come to you. Live.